teaching on patience, so I'll kind of lead you into why I'm teaching on patience. Kate, you can relate to all this, some of this for sure. I think all of you can relate in some way, but, I think, so we're in this season, and we've been talking about, like what happens when we're in a season that is, it's kind of exposing a lot of stuff in us because, it's just a hard season for everybody, you know? And for those of you who don't know, I work at Trader Joe's and so we deal with the general public, and for the first time in forever, we've had to start making these lines outside of front of Trader Joe's. And I think what I started to realize, and I started to get really frustrated about it, was how impatient some people are. Like this, they don't want to wait in line. Like they didn't want to wait in line inside the stores, and now they for sure don't want to wait in line outside the stores before they go into shop to wait in another line to check out, right? And I was getting frustrated with it, and then I took a pause on my frustration with it, and I actually just started to feel sad about how impatient we are in our culture, in our society. And I started to feel sad about it. And this was before I started to really process like the weight of patience in our life, how important it is to be patient. And I basically am just going to go through like some kind of like thoughts and verses and ramblings a little bit, and we can talk about it. But I was kind of searching online about stuff about patience, and I found this article, and this guy was like, patience is a virtue. And then he goes on to explain why patience doesn't matter anymore in our society. Like, we don't need patience anymore. And I was reading it, and I just was like, this guy is missing something so important. And at the same time, I think probably I'm missing something that's important, and maybe we all can grow in something. How do I say, like, there's a weight to patience? Because when I started to think about patience, I started to think about how it doesn't sound that important to me, even in my ears, the word patience, to have patience. Like what? Patience for what? To just wait in a line, right? Like, so what? And as I started to process it, I'm like, it seems like such, almost like a weak thing, you know? And I was like, but I know that's not the truth. And so I wanted to like learn about it and why does it matter? And, anyway, so that's kind of how I ended up where I'm at. But the part where in my conversations with God, and I was just sitting quiet and like just listening, and what I heard him say was, love is patient. Love is patient. And see, most of us are familiar with 1 Corinthians 13. You know, love is patient, love is kind, right? It's this long, bulky, beautiful definition of love, what love is. And it's probably the biggest definition on what anything is in the Bible. It's this great description. But the first thing that love is patient. And that's what God spoke to me when I was thinking about it. He's like, love is patient. And I was like, whoa, it's the first thing in the definition of what love is. It's not the last thing. It's not mixed in the middle of it all. It's actually the first thing mentioned. And that's where I started to feel the weight of importance of what patience is. And as I start to realize, like, as I've been like reading and spending time with God about this over the last couple weeks, I find I'm noticing all these times that I'm being impatient. Maybe it's me being impatient with the person who's in line who's impatient, but I'm still being impatient, right? And And I realized that what happens when things get exposed in us, you know, it's an opportunity for us to be able to repent. And what does it mean to repent? The simple definition is change our minds, to be able to change our minds and think like God thinks. And so like repent is not, it's not all about just feeling sorry, even though sometimes there's a bit of sorrow in the process, but, repentance is really about like going, wow, I've thought about this wrong and I'm going to change how I think about this. And inviting God into the process, obviously, because he's the one that's helping expose things. But then as we invite him into the process, God wants to help transform us. He wants to transform us so that we have patience for good reason. First and foremost, we can't actually love and we can't love well without patience. And I think that goes for ourselves. It's not just about loving others. It's about being able to love ourselves as well. We have to have patience for ourselves. We have to have patience for others to be able to love them. We have to have patience for God, to love God, right? He has patience for us. I think that it's very important. And so I'm going to go through some things that I, what is patience for? There's a quote here by Molière. I don't even know who this is. Molière. Does anybody know? I think he's a poet, philosopher. Molière. Anyway, it says, trees that are slow to grow bear the best fruit. And I was reading that and I was thinking to myself, one of the things that we need patience for is the process. We need patience. I need patience for my process. I need patience for other people's processes. The process of what, like the process of growth, the process of change. It's without patience, I'm just frustrated. I'm just frustrated with where I'm at. Without patience, I'm just frustrated that I can't be somewhere else, right? And that might be like in a mindset, not necessarily chronological regarding time, but it might be just regarding time. I mean, why are we impatient when we made it in line? Because we want to be somewhere else, right? We're not, I don't have the time for this. Like, I mean, how, that's kind of how our society is wired. I don't have time for this, you know? I got somewhere to be. I got something more important than this. But I'm going to read through some things and some quotes I found that are really cool. But something else to think about, like here's some other ways to describe patience. Endurance, long suffering is a way that's been like an older way to say it, which is pretty long suffering in a sense to like to wait the process. The process can be hard, and it's going to feel like suffering sometimes, right? But I'm going to read some things. So if we lack patience, we lack the ability to be in the present moment, which is where God dwells as the I am. If you're not familiar with one of the things that God calls himself in the Bible, God is called I am, which is basically saying that he is in the present moment always. And how hard is it for us to be in the present moment? We're either like regretting something from the past or we're impatient about something because we got to be somewhere in the future. But the present moment is like the most beautiful thing. It's the only thing that we can actually engage with something real. Everything else is in our mind somewhere. But the present moment is where God is. And when we lack patience, we are not with God. If we are not with God, who is love, how can we expect to love, to be love? When we are impatient, we cannot love. God is patient. God is kind. In that passage that I started with, love is patient, love is kind. And then it goes on to tell all the things that love is, right? If God is love, we can exchange the word love for God and say, God is patient. God is kind. And there's some passages in the Bible that actually really point to like this beautiful patience that God has. And I'll touch on a couple of those. But without patience, we cannot pray. because we are too busy to listen. And the most important part of prayer is what God has to say. Think about the most important of any conversation. Like if I go with Nikki to a coffee shop and I'm just loaded with all things that I want to say, and we sit down and I just ramble a bunch of things off, and like maybe there's a few moments where she's able to kind of like say a couple words, but when even when she's speaking, all I can think about is the next thing that I want to say. This is, guys, I'm actually describing myself right now. This is how my mind works, right? So I'm really, this is a season for me to learn. So if all I can think about is the next thing that I want to say or do, how much do I actually get to hear what my wife is saying to me? And how great can my response truly be? Because what am I responding to? Not much of anything she's saying, because I'm not actually listening. So when it comes down to it, all I'm doing is I want to just basically like air out all my thoughts on my wife. It's not actually a conversation, right? It's the same with God. If I'm not listening, then I'm actually not in a conversation with God. I'm just telling God some stuff and then I'm moving on. And that's kind of a lot of what I've been, you know, for all of you have been spending time with us and me, and what really's been something that's mattered to me is like, and I feel like as we've learned to like be quieter, more quiet, you know, to wait. And we've done that on the Zoom talks even, where we've, you know, gone into quiet prayer just for 3 minutes. And it's crazy what 3 minutes feels like. And that's just listening. I just want to be able to listen better. And more. Here's some quotes. Most men pursue pleasure with such breathless haste that they hurry past it. Did I say hurry pretty funny there? Let me try that again. Hurry. Most men pursue pleasure with such breathless haste that they hurry past it. I bet if we all pause for a second, we know exactly what that feels like. I'm on a big old hike because I want to enjoy the day, but I don't have the ability to stop and look at the flowers, or to like stop and see something close up, or stop and close my eyes and feel the wind on my face. I've gone up to hike because I need to get away and feel pleasure, except for I'm too much in a hurry to actually do just that. That's Soren Kierkegaard. Patience is not passive. On the contrary, it is concentrated strength. Bruce Lee. That's good. Rivers know this. There is no hurry. We shall get there someday. Winnie the Pooh. Slow and steady wins the race. Aesop. Patience is the key to contentment. Muhammad. One moment of patience may ward off great disaster. One moment of impatience may ruin a whole life. Chinese proverb. I think that's really good, actually. I'm going to read that again. One moment of patience may ward off great disaster. One moment of impatience may ruin a whole life. Think about a decision, and if I just wait another moment, I'm going to make a better decision. If I'm angry and I make a decision in haste and anger, I may ruin my whole life. Or that, right? I can repair, sure, but maybe I've ruined a relationship and the other person, I cannot repair that. So the importance of patience starts to get weighty. It starts to hold a weight. If I can just breathe 3 deep breaths before I respond to what has just made me so mad, I might actually skip ruining a relationship. Teach us, O Lord, the disciplines of patience, for to wait is often harder than to work. Peter Marshall. And some thoughts that I wrote down. To have patience is to have self-control. without patience, you lose yourself. Think about the things we do when we're impatient. To wait, to have patience, is not the same thing as being lazy. Waiting requires faith, that though you've done your part, tilled, planted, and watered, it is only God who makes things grow. Patience is an act of faith, and it is an act of love. Patience is an expression of hope. In Romans 8:26, I'm going to read Romans 8:26. So as I'm looking for this, I was thinking to myself, I think I got sad for a moment when I thought, how insignificant really I thought patience was, how I live and how I think about it. When I hear the word, think about when you hear a word and what's your reaction to it. If it's something you can just set down and forget about, does it really have significance, right? And so like I got sad about it, thinking like patience did not hold a lot of significance in my mind process. And so the reason I'm teaching about this is because I really think there's something like a treasure for us when we learn patience. There's a saying, what is it? All good things come to those who wait, you know? It was really sad because the article I read about the guy that talked about our culture and a culture that doesn't need patience anymore, he quotes that and he's like, that's not true. I'm like, how do you know if you don't wait? How do we know? We don't wait long enough for the answer. We don't wait long enough to actually see the good fruit come out. Josh, how many years does it take to get your first apple on a tree? Right? The reality is you plant a new tree. You don't actually get a new apple the first season. Or if you want good fruit, you actually wait through that season until the next 2 years, maybe, before you get good fruit on a tree. When's the last time we waited 2 years for something, you know? Romans 8:26. Let's see. Wait a second. 8:25 maybe? I'm reading it and I'm like, this isn't right. Okay, yeah. It says, talking about hope, it says, hope means that we must trust and wait for what is still unseen. For why would we need to hope for something we already have? So because our hope is set on what is yet to be seen, we patiently keep on waiting for its fulfillment. So patience is an expression of hope. I'm going to be patient because I'm hoping for ... right? Patience, I think, in part comes from the fear of time is like a thief. When we have lost, so in this mindset, there's two words in the Greek. And I was processing this, and I've talked about this a long time ago, so I don't even remember when it was. But talking about time. Impatience is in direct correlation with time. So I'm going to read through this. Two words in the Greek, chronos and kairos. They both translate as time, but they both represent something totally different. So impatience comes from the fear of time as a thief, where we have lost our eternal and kingdom mindset. Fear will always combat our ability to love because there's no fear in love. To be patient is to trust God, to see time as a gift, where the present moment, fragile and beautiful, is the place where we are able to plant seeds of love that grow into eternity. Patience is really powerful. Patience is the time between the planted seed and the fruit that grows. So the two words in the Greek, chronos, that's the one that relates to our ticking clocks. So like Chronos, right? Chronological. The minute you cannot get back. And in some ways, like, this Chronos is thought of as like time that is a thief. It takes from you. Every minute is gone. You can't get that minute back. It's temporary and fleeting. Chronos. The second word in the Greek is Kairos. And that is the gift of the present moment. The closest point to eternity. Favor and opportunity. It has a permanent nature. Chronos is temporary. Kairos is permanent. I think it was C.S. Lewis that said once that the closest point in time to eternity is the present moment. And if you think about it, it really makes sense. We have all these senses, like we can smell, we can taste, we can touch, we can hear. What's the fifth one? Feel? Touch. No, that's touch. What's five senses? Help me. Smell, taste, see, touch, hear? I get it? Can you hear last minute? Can I hear anything last minute? Or can I smell anything that hasn't come into my nose from the wind in this very moment? Our senses are meant to like actually touch us. It helps us to be able to be in the present moment. So our senses are like really a gift. The trap is that when we go inside of our mind, we go forward, we go backwards, right? But Kairos is the thing of like the gift of the present moment. It's like the moment when you close your eyes and you smell the sage in the wind. That's Kairos. That's that moment. And in that moment, you're not afraid of something getting taken from you. You've had something given to you. Time is not a thief. That moment was a gift. Our perspective on time, I think, really like plays into how, whether we're patient or whether we're impatient. If we live with a temporal mindset and we constantly are in fear of what? All the time that I'm losing today. I have 24 hours. It's already 10:30. I've only got one load of laundry done. You know, I'm in line at the grocery store. Nobody said there was going to be a line at the grocery store, right? I need to get back to get the laundry out, dot, 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 right? All the things that we have to get done. And what did we miss? The possible stranger standing in front of a line. I mean, right now with everybody wearing masks, we probably missed actually seeing somebody we know and really love. I watch people leave the store and I go, oh my gosh, I know that person because I don't see this part of their face, you know? But maybe if I was present in line and I was looking at people and I was smiling and making sure they could see my, what do you call it when you smile with your eyes now? I don't know, what is it? There's a word for it. Somebody help me.
I thought it was just smiling with your eyes.
Thank you, Liz. We'll just call it smiling with your eyes.
You're thinking of wrinkles called crow's feet.
Yeah, like...
like when you smile like that, that's like wrinkles you get. I don't know. I know I'm going to have them.
That's... heck yeah, you are. They're going to be great. They're laugh wrinkles. It's the best. Think about all the things we miss when we're in a hurry to get to the next thing. Because we're running out of time. And the present moment, Kairos says like, I get to wait in line. Like, and maybe we have to tell ourselves like, dang it, man, I have a busy day. But you know what? It's kind of nice to stop for a minute because being busy from sun up to sundown kind of sucks anyways. So why don't I just pause for a moment and like smile with my eyes at the people that will make eye contact. And I might actually like strike up a conversation with somebody that needs to hear a kind word, right? Maybe you're the one that needs maybe I'm the one that needs a kind word and I'm too busy to stop and talk to somebody and allow them to give me that. Anyways, I think if we think about time as Kairos, it's a gift. Time is a gift. It's favor. It's opportunity. Every moment is an opportunity. We will be less impatient. I will gain patience because why? Because I'll be looking for the moments. There's a verse, this is Kairos when Jesus speaks in John. It says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus is saying, the kingdom of heaven is present now, in this moment. Repent. And repentance is like this very subtle and also can be jarring at the same time process of looking at Jesus and going, I receive your gift. I receive your gift. This present moment, I want to think like you think, Jesus. It's funny, I was looking for times when Jesus would actually speak about patience, right? I couldn't actually find the word patience come from his mouth. And here's why. Because he lived patience. You watch his life. There's a story, and I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to give you a little snapshot. There's a story where the disciples come up and they say, this man has a son who is possessed, right? He's basically, his symptoms are like epilepsy. And he falls and flops on the ground and his body, like, it's just this horrific event, right? Disciples come and say, Jesus, you need to heal this guy's kid. And the guy comes up and he's talking to Jesus and everybody's screaming. You read the passage and you can tell that the crowd is just like wild. And Jesus turns to the man and talks to the guy. While Jesus has the power to heal the boy in a moment, right? He's not missing the opportunity to actually recognize the Father and talk to him. And he says, how long has he been doing this? Like, Jesus stops. He has patience. He's not in a hurry. He has the crowd yelling at him. His own disciples are yelling at him. And he stops and he waits to have a conversation with the Father. And then goes on to heal the boy. But if you read the Gospels, look for the way that Jesus walks in patience. And granted, he probably speaks about patience in a lot of ways that maybe I haven't recognized it, or to be able to read through the Gospels again and look for it, because Jesus was, he was a wisdom teacher. So oftentimes he would teach about something in parables, and he was teaching about something very specific. So I bet he taught about patience quite a bit, actually. There's a couple stories in the Bible. Waiting impatiently for Moses to return. So this is the Israelites of Exodus out of Egypt, and they're following Moses to the promised land. Moses gets called up into the mountain because he's going to come down with what we know as the Ten Commandments, right? He's going to come down with the tablets. But the Israelites build a golden calf because they couldn't wait for Moses to return. So waiting impatiently for Moses to return with the tablets, they build this golden calf. Impatience can lead us to the worship of idols and false gods. And this is why I think this is, because God is not fast enough for us sometimes. In a sense, like, we ask God a question and we don't want to wait for the answer. Sometimes the answer actually comes in the silence and in the waiting. And we learn as sometimes I talk to God, like, it's sometimes in my conversations, it's like I'll ask God a question and it'll be quiet. And then I feel like a question pops into my mind. But it's not what I'm thinking about. In other words, God's answer to my question is a question. And everybody's like, that's frustrating, you know. Except for, like, if we're really listening for the answer, God is giving us little nuggets of gold. He's like asking us questions. He wants us to be a part of the process. He doesn't want to just feed us all the answers, because then what? It doesn't, then we just kind of like, hey God, I want this. And he gives it to us. Hey God, I want this. And he's like, I want you to grow up and I want you to be part of the process. He talks about us in the Gospels where Jesus is a vine and we're the branches. And those things are supposed to grow. We're supposed to grow with God. So sometimes God waits a little bit to answer us. And it's good for us if we'll wait with him. There's another story. You guys are all familiar with King David, right? King David. Before he became king, the king that was before David was Saul. Saul is impatient, and this is what he loses because of his impatience. He loses his anointing as king. Samuel, who is the prophet at the time, says Saul loses his anointing as a king of Israel because he cannot wait any longer for Samuel to return. Samuel tells Saul and the army, wait, I'm going to go up and talk to God. Then I'm going to come back down and I'm going to give an offering to God. And then we'll do what we need to do. And Saul could not wait for Samuel to return. So he did what the priest was supposed to do, and he offered the sacrifice to God. Now, the rules were different back then. They were in a different time. But the reality is Samuel told him to wait for him. And Saul was impatient and did not wait. And what he lost was not something small. He lost the anointing as the king of Israel. It was after that that everything went downhill. In fact, in that moment, Samuel gets down and he speaks to Saul and he tells him the anointing has been laid on somebody else. That's when Saul finds out that somebody else is to be king. And if David were impatient, he would have missed out on his blessing and his anointing as the king of Israel, because it's not immediately that happened. It did not transfer to David immediately. If you read the story, there's quite a gap of time where David knows he's to be king and actually takes kingship of Israel. Patience. He waits for what God promised him. Does anybody have anything they want to say? I've got some more things I want to like read, but I want to hear if you guys have any thoughts right now.
Can I actually ask you to repeat? It was toward the beginning where you were saying with Kairos, you were saying something about it being the closest moment to eternity. Can you repeat how you phrased that? I really liked it.
Yeah, so the present moment is the closest point in time to eternity.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. In fact, if you think about it, like kind of go back to like what we talked about, who God is the I am. And if you think about what that means, God is I am. I am is like to be, right? To be what? I am. He is in the present. He's not, it's a powerful name of who God is, I am. Anyways, the present moment is the eternal moment that we get to be in. And sometimes, in fact, I think a lot of our mindset is we're constantly thinking about eternity, right? Somewhere over here. Eternity is somewhere over here. And actually not what the Bible says about eternity. I didn't write the passage down. It's John. That's great. You reminded me. Thanks, Liz. It's in the prayer in John that Jesus is praying. So Jesus is praying, and it says in chapter 17, John 17 verses 1 through 3, I think. And it says, this is what Jesus prayed as he looked up into heaven. Father, the time has come. Unveil the glorious splendor of your Son, so that I will magnify your glory. You have already given me authority over all people, so that I may give the gift of eternal life to all those that you have given to me. Eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God, and to know and experience Jesus Christ as the Son whom you have sent. So what is that saying? Eternal life means to know and experience God. Jesus, we cannot actually experience anything in the past or in the future. We can only experience things in the present moment. That's what experience is. We can remember experiences. We can look forward to experiences. But to actually have an experience is in the present moment. In other words, eternity is not tomorrow. Eternity is now. And then when we actually arrive somewhere in the midst of tomorrow, because it will happen, in that moment, eternity will be there. Anybody else have any thoughts?
I do have another thing I want to say.
Yeah.
So Chrissy had sent us this meditation a while back, and it reminds me of this because in the meditation it's talking about how God's name, like if it's written out how it would be, then you can't actually pronounce it. The closest sound is how it would sound when you exhale. And so they're talking about how when you're breathing, that is like you are so close to God. It is being in the present moment with God. And so when you're talking about it being the closest point in time to eternity, it just makes me think that we're there just by breathing in the present moment, you know?
Totally.
That's so cool.
Totally. Was that Yahweh? Is that what you're talking about? Is that what it was?
No, because they said it would not have any vowels.
So if you, so Yahweh is, they've removed the vowels. They don't write the vowels.
Okay.
And it's basically the name of God that's too sacred to write it all out, right? The Jewish people write Yahweh in a condensed version, and it represents, I read this, this was in a book that Henry Nouwen wrote, and he was talking about a conversation he had with a rabbi, and the rabbi was talking about why Yahweh is the name of God. And it says, as you breathe in, it is breath, right?
So cool.
Really beautiful. I love that you guys are talking about that. It's your favorite name of God, Yahweh. And when you meditate, one of the things to tie you into the present moment is paying attention to your breath and the rhythm of your breath. You find a natural breath, and you actually, that's what you put some focus on, because it draws your mind from the future where it's racing to and the past where it's stuck in to the moment that you breathe. It's cool, Liz. Thank you for sharing that. Heck yeah. Anybody else? I love you guys' contributions. Something, I remember talking, I was talking with Josh and my mom, and we went hiking, and one of the things that became apparent, we were driving, and I was talking about this because I kind of get obsessive about things, and it's like this constant thought. And so in 1 Corinthians 13, where it says love is patient, the second half of that sentence is love is kind. And I think you said something, Mom, about that, where I said, love is patient, and you said, and kind. And we were, do you remember what you said, Mom? Okay, Mom, you.
I don't remember what I said on kind.
Well, I remember processing it afterwards, and I was thinking to myself.
But we were processing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about
how
impossible it is to be kind when you're impatient.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
first.
Yeah, I mean, that was only, and it was me. Me and Nikki were talking. Yeah, it was like, there's a reason why patience comes first. Look at all of the rest of 1 Corinthians 13, right? In fact, I'll turn there, and I'll read a little bit about it. Love is patient and kind. Love is gentle. Refuses to be jealous. I don't actually like the Passion Translation. Sorry, guys. I'm gonna for this one. It doesn't flow for me. I'm gonna go into a version. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. It's funny, it's almost like a bookend, perseverance. There's absolutely no way to endure and persevere without patience. And I don't know if you can do any of that definition without being patient. And I think what it boils down to is really the fact that, like, impatience is skipping past the present moment. I can't actually be in the present moment when I'm impatient. I'm gonna read this other thing I wrote when I was thinking about this. Patience is a lost virtue in a society that finds no need for it anymore. In a society that tells us to rush forward and take what's yours. Disconnected from the process of growth, we no longer have to wait for a harvest or prepare for winter. For somewhere far off, there always is a harvest happening, and all we have to do is go to the store to find. We don't have to wait for eggs to be laid, or for information, or the long-awaited meeting of a loved one. All information is at our fingertips, and whenever we want to see someone, all we need to have is a video chat, right? There is no reason for us to wait anymore. And so patience is discarded as though it has played its role in the halls of antiquity, and we trample over one another to get to the next task that we are late for. We are constantly being rushed from point A to point B, and we are missing the blessings along the road, the opportunities of the moments, the peace in the present, the I am. Slow down. Take a deep breath. Greet your neighbor. Help a stranger. Smile. See the flowers in bloom, here today and gone tomorrow. Feel the quiet roar of silence early in the morning. Listening to the giants sleep, have your rendezvous with God in the indigo blue, where the veil between heaven and earth is thin like lace, and God is quietly speaking words of peace, where you can keep your eyes open and still see his face. Wait on the Lord. Be still. Be patient. There's a really beautiful passage in Isaiah. It says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. It says, they will mount up with wings like eagles. Yeah, it's a good reminder.
Is that passage?
Isaiah 40:31.
That's right, 40:31. And I was going to say, I love that. Did you write that poem, Aaron?
Yeah.
I love that. I want a copy of that. That was beautiful.
Okay.
But I was thinking, there can be no peace in our hearts without patience.
Yeah.
There is no peace when we are impatient. I mean, you know, there's just that churning and stirring, but it's in the patience is the peace. And
it's almost like another word for impatience is anxiety.
Yeah.
anybody ever felt impatient and actually not anxious? I don't think that's possible. I think it's almost like the same thing, you know?
It's also one.
You can go ahead.
Go ahead.
So definitely, like, one thing that Alexa and I noticed this weekend when we were on vacation, because I'm in a smaller town, obviously, so things do run a little bit slower here. And I've noticed that, like, in bigger cities, a lot of people's attitudes are different, you know, and especially when it comes to patience and kindness. And I wanted to add to the how kindness follows patience and things, and how it's, like, super prevalent and relatable with today, you know, especially, like, it's election year. We have all these things going on in our lives, and we live in an instant culture where, like, if we want something, it's, like, if I wanted ice cream, I could literally get on my phone and order it and have it be here in 15 minutes if I wanted to, and not even have to leave the couch. Yeah. And how, like, all this stuff is amazing, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm a tech guy, and, you know, in the tattoo industry, stuff like that, I think it's, like, it's amazing for, like, logistics and stuff like that. But I think it's just, like, it's deluded us to, like, be quiet and to be patient. And I think it's, like, also taken away some of our kindness, right? I feel like we are less patient with people. And I even find myself with that, too. It's just, like, you know, like, I have things to do. And, like, I get upset when people, like, try to waste my time with, like, stupid questions. You know, like, people ask me about, like, tattoos and stuff like that. And I realized this weekend, like, people don't know this information. So it's just, like, I'm getting upset about them about asking questions that they legitimately just need answers to. You know, and I'm not, like, being patient with them. And then, like, I find out it's, like, their first tattoo where they just don't know, or they went to someone who's not educated. You know, and so I think it's, like, within today's age, I think we need to be more conscious and practicing patience, because kindness does happen to get, like, paid forward, right? Like, kindness tends to be met with kindness, you know? Like, you drive through the drive-thru and someone pays for, like, your coffee or something like that, and you're like, oh, well, then just, like, pay the next person's coffee. And I think if we practice patience and that kindness comes with it, I think it could, you know, hopefully trigger a domino effect of people just taking a moment to just, like, be kind and, like, understand people, I guess, especially now. I think a lot of people are scared and they're hurt. And I think all of our hearts are, like, pointed towards, like, wanting everyone to do better. But because everything's so instantaneous and we're so, like, focused on the now and not being more, I guess, aware of our surroundings, right, and listening and taking in everything, I think it's diluted our kindness a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's in society as well, in the church as well.
Yeah. Just kind of adding on to that, I feel the same way as you, because, like Aaron, I work at Trader Joe's too, and, like, having to understand if people, you know, I do have those moments of impatience, like Aaron said, but yeah, sometimes having to understand, being in there, putting yourself in their shoes really helps you to, like, understand why people may be angry, because, I mean, like, anger and impatience, I think, kind of can go together. It's just a secondary emotion of, like, people might be scared, or they might be frustrated, or they have other, you know, like, traumas and experiences going on in their life that may make them, like, snap or be impatient. And so just, I think, yeah, because of everything going on in the world right now, I think people have, like, had to, it's not really, like, an option. It's, like, you have to slow down. You have to wait in line at the grocery store. You have to abide by these new rules now. And it's kind of, like, made people kind of stop and think. And I only hope it helps people to be more kind. I mean, obviously, we've seen some stubborn people all across the world and impatient people. But, yeah, I really think just stopping to think about, you know, maybe that it's not on you if someone's being impatient or you're, like, unkind, but just understanding that maybe something's going on in their life. That's helped me a lot at work, and people are always like, oh, Kate, you're always so kind, you're so cheery, and I'm like, well, I'm just trying to put it back out there into the world and having it come back to me, you know, and you never know what's going on in people's lives. So I have to really remember that, especially when I am impatient with people, like maybe they're having a hard day or something like that. So I can totally agree with them. I think that's what's helped me kind of stay sane through these times and whatnot, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What were you going to say, Mama Anna?
I was going to say that one way I look at it is always wanting something to be different than where we currently are.
Mm.
To me, that's impatience. I want something, and then when I get it, momentarily, I'm pleased and I'm happy, but then my thought goes to the next thing that I want or something more that I want. And as far as Trader Joe's, I've been meaning to say this to you, Aaron, you've done an amazing job at that store, because I was that person who a few weeks ago pulled up in my car, saw a line and did a U-turn and almost drove off. And then I thought, I literally stopped and said, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And I parked my car, went and stood in line, slowed down, and thought, this really is I was making more of it. I think we often make more of it in our heads than it actually is. And just going through the store and even waiting in line to check out, it's like, you know, I was making such a big deal out of it when I turned around to leave without, you know, stopping to think what I was doing. And then another thing that I noticed, which I've noticed a lot on walks or, you know, walking around downtown, how much gets hidden from here down? Because I'll be smiling at somebody, and if you're passing, they don't see it and they ignore you. And the first thing that goes to my head is, boy, they must be having a bad day, or they're feeling really cranky right now. And then I realized it's because I think I smile a lot of people, that I get that response, even if they have like a sour look on their face, when you're walking by them, if you smile, like you were saying, Kate and Jake, it's just, you pass it forward and you see their mood and their emotion instantaneously change when somebody smiles at them for no reason. Mm-hmm. And so I've just found a distance with these masks that I didn't experience before, and then it's just being cognizant that it's not really the person, it's just not being able to see what you're expressing with your, like you said, your senses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really cool to try to think about to stop and think about the why sometimes, why maybe somebody is having a bad day. Like, you open up space, like, you know, like all of a sudden, like stopping to think about like, oh wait, what is different? And you open up space for grace, to be able to like really love people where they're at. That's good. It's a different, like the anticipation, the almost like not being happy with what you have is also an element of impatience. Mm-hmm. And I totally see that for sure. Anybody else want to chime in? It's a group effort.
I was just thinking of something, when you were talking earlier, Aaron, about, Chronos versus Kairos, you know, like time is the enemy versus, you know, time is actually connected to eternity, you know, like it's present, you know? And I was thinking of there's two verses. One of them is, which we've shared back and forth a bunch. You know, it's like, if you're patient, if you let patience do its thing, you're mature, you're complete, and you lack nothing. Mm-hmm. And so if you view time through a scarcity lens, then it's stealing from you. If you view time as, if you're coming at time from the wealth of eternity, then you have the moment, and it's your present. And then thinking of him saying, making the most of every opportunity, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, like wondering almost if it's possible to manifest patience. And when you manifest patience, if it gets like released out to the people around you, like even without saying anything, if it's possible to create like a zone of like patience in the atmosphere around you, just so that people don't view it with the anxiety, like, I don't have enough time. That's like, I think, a scarcity thing. And I wonder if God's like, when you do patience, you get the moment, and then God gets to act in time, and he gives you more time somewhere else, but you didn't know that was going to happen. Like, I wonder how he plays outside of time. I wonder how he like engages in time. And if patience, if us being patient, like in our spirit, when we agree with patience, if it actually opens a door for him to like give us different time that we wouldn't have, you know, and as opposed to feeling like we're chasing time, like he like adds it. Yeah. You ever seen like it's like an X-Men movie or something. Like he's walking over outer space and metal is just flying up, and every step he like just keeps stepping, like it builds a bridge for him. And I wonder if like God does that with our timeline. Like he just throws extra stuff on when we let him in, and we view time through his like wealth thing, like there's more than enough time. All of a sudden it's like, boom, more time gets opened up for us. And when we're impatient and we're doing the other thing, if it almost does feel like it's slipping through our hands or something, I don't know. Those were the thoughts. When you said that earlier, I like the idea that the Kairos moments, which you always hear in like the charismatic, and then Chronos, which is like you're viewing time as an enemy. Like that band Hoods from Sacramento had that record, Time the Great Destroyer. Like time's just like an opposition, but then in God, like time is like a different, I don't know. Anyways, I thought that was really awesome. It was really cool correlation. So that's what I was wondering about, if patience actually adds time to our life when we give our time to our patience, if it multiplies somehow. I don't know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying though? Like, it's like almost like supernatural math. Like somehow God just like does stuff with it. And I don't know. Anyways, that's what I got.
Think about this. Sometimes we think about time as almost like an unbreakable rule, right? It's like it owns us. Like, and that's Chronos. That is the thought process that like time is going to take from me. And that's just how it is. Because every minute I get older is a minute I don't have, right? But sometimes we think that God is captive to time. He's not. So that's the reality is that, and I think what, you know, I felt those moments before where I slowed down. I think we all have certain things that we can do that help us to be present. And honestly, this would be like our own personal ways of contemplation or prayer, right? And that could be like taking a walk. That could be sitting quietly, silently. That could be journaling. That could be writing poetry, music. Gardening, baking, right? There's things that we do that we like tap into like this supernatural joy. God has given us these like things in us that help us to actually pray. Don't get locked in a sense to like the idea that there's only like one type of way to pray and it's quiet and it's something, right? It really is God's given us these like really intimate things within us to be able to connect with him in the present moment. And I know I've had those times where like maybe I had to work at like 10 a.m. And I woke up a little bit earlier and I spent time, and it felt like I had a whole day with God before I went to work at 10 a.m. Right? But think about when you wake up and you're rushing around thinking of all the crap you got to do and how 10 a.m. is early. And like, I already did this, that, and the other, but didn't finish anything. Right? The difference. And God does not bow to time. God made time. He created time. It can be a gift for us, or we can live in fear because of the way that we look at it.
I think to add to that too is it's like, I don't know about you guys, but like whenever I take the time to build something or to like create something, whether it's artistically or like something I'm working for myself, the reward is always sweeter than if I were to rush something, right? Because then I'm upset, I'm frustrated, I'm like, this could have been so much better. And it always goes back to like, if I would have just taken my time on it, right? And I think there's a discipline in being patient as well, because the reward is sweeter, right? Because like the overall result is better. And I think why Jesus calls us to be so patient is so that way he can work on us and we could be the best result of his image that he has for us. Mm-hmm. I think that applies to everything we do. You know, everything. I don't think like we could do anything if we're not patient and we take our time about it. Like, good work does not come out of like hate and just getting it done and like rushing into something just blindly, because you know when you're going doing something fast, like you don't have clear vision, right? Like it blurs out a little bit. And maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm like really blind, but I think, you know, slow and steady like wins the race. I think that's like a true thing.
Yeah, heck yeah. There's a proverb I wrote down, and it says, desire without knowledge from God is no good, and those who make haste will miss their way. And it's funny, like, what we call sin, like, to miss their way, that's actually saying sin. Like, doing something that is, like, where we miss the mark, or, like, we think about sin this way, missing the blessing. Like, because we were too impatient. Like, it's almost like this thing of like, sin is not this thing that is sin doesn't have any authority over God. Again, just like time. And it is something that is like, God has made a world where we have the ability to not pay attention to him. We have the ability to not be in the present moment ever if we don't want to. And there's certain things that I think that we are given that we don't recognize as a blessing, like, because they actually draw us to the present moment very quickly sometimes. And like, pain can be that way. And it's hard for us to see pain as a gift ever, but there is something about like being drawn into the present moment. Cause when you feel something, that's where you are in the present moment. And it's just think the whole thought process of what sin is it's not about some intention. It's about am I taking the time to listen? Like that, you can define it in different ways where it's like, I love how it says this, those who hurry, make haste, will miss their way. And that's what you're saying. Like, you rushed something that you should have loved to do. And you're disappointed at the end result. Like, it's hard for us to like fit in that factor, like that there was some element of sin, but God was trying to give you a gift and he was like, take the time to do it right. Right? In other words, sin keeps us from a blessing, and the blessing of like the project that you would want to finish and do well, because that's where you're going to find the pleasure in the end of a well-finished project. You right? Like, so it's kind of like to take our minds away from this thing of like where God stands back and scolds this idea. It's actually more of another way to look at it is he invites us into the better. He invites us into the best. And anything that, like, kind of, like, detracts from that would be, like, a way to look at sin. So, like, will I get through this day without sin? I'm pretty sure I won't. Like, but as we increase in our awareness, right, and we continue to receive God's blessings, and we continue to say, help, Jesus, help. Help me be patient. We get to hone in and think like him more. And we draw closer to the present moment, to him. In a sense, like what I'm trying, I think the reality is like sin in a sense is attached to the process that we need repentance for. Right? And so kind of going back to this, the topic of patience, is I realized that like the repentance process and the transformation process happens when I'm open to being aware of my impatience. But I have to like ask God to be a part of that process, right? I can't just one moment go, man, I wish I wasn't impatient, but then not actually in my mind and in my prayers say, I want to know when I'm impatient. God, help me to be aware. And then when you're aware, the simple prayer of like, help, Jesus, help. Give me your patience. That's repentance. It doesn't need to be a long, drawn-out thing other than the process of learning patience may take the rest of our lives. The difference, right? Of like, I don't need to find myself groveling, begging for God's forgiveness. He has a new and better way waiting for me. My awareness of where I'm missing the mark because I'm making haste and I'm impatient draws me to the prayer to receive him and his help in the moment. I find myself sinning. I repent. I invite God in and he transforms me. If we make a practice of that, we will grow. We will be like oaks planted by the stream. We will be like trees bearing like, you know, strong trees bearing like the most beautiful fruit. It takes time. But I want to be more patient. I don't know about you guys, but I want to be able to like not be in such in a hurry. I don't when I recognize it, man. God, help me to be patient to recognize the good in this moment. I know we're near 4 o'clock. I don't know if you guys, how do you feel about sitting with me for 3 minutes with a heart to listen and to be able to just hear, in a sense, the words of God that would give us a heart of patience. Those words for you may be different than they are than the words for me. So I'm going to set my timer. 3 minutes. And so I invite you to sit up straight. And put your hands together and however prayer looks like, right? Symbol, it's a surrender, right? In surrender. Take in a few deep breaths with me. Breathe in deep. Breathe out, surrender. Breathe in, presence of God. Exhale. And you can repeat after me. I'm going to say this prayer. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still be? I don't know how long that was.
That was
about
right.
Is that right? I want to say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Does anybody have any final thoughts, any prayer requests? Anybody need anything?
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thanks for coming. It's nice to see you. Yeah.
Thank you, Aaron.
Good time. You're welcome, Anna. I really value our time together. This really, this matters. I feel like this is like planting seeds, you know, for us. And, anyway, yeah, we're glad we could spend the time together. Sure.
Amen.
What's that, Josh? You look drunk.
I said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.